Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 and I want to welcome you to Let's Talk with Minister Cecilia, Apostle-elect, Evangelist Cecilia, Believer Cecilia, Daughter Cecilia, Lula and Huey's Daughter Cecilia, Renee and Sheila's Sister Cecilia, I mean, whatever you want to call me. Welcome to Let's Talk with Smile 3 with Minister Sylvia Kaiser, who's here as a guest on today, I see, and also our long-standing, so faithful Minister Sheila Kaiser, who I will turn it over to right now to start us off in prayer and whatever the Lord has given her, and then she'll turn it over to me, and I'll start off with a food for thought and a question, et cetera, et cetera. So Minister Sheila is in your hands.
Good morning, Apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, and Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and to all that is listening. We say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God, our Father, and the Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, and thank you, and thank you for this day that has been given to me, has been given to us, through the Father and the Son that has decided to bless us again with another beautiful day of life. Oh, Father, I thank you. God, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you for giving us your Son, Christ, Lord Jesus, that we might have life to live, and to learn, and to mostly be loved, and to love you. God, I thank you, and I thank you for this day, for each and every day that I wake. The people on this earth that you made wakes up. Lord, I thank you. God, I thank you. As I said, I can never, in this life and life before, after, or whenever, throughout this life, Sam, cannot thank you enough for blessing us with another day, another new day of life, to learn and to know and to believe and to love and to learn more of you, the Father and Son that has chosen to give us life, and that we have life, and that we will never lose life with the beautiful, the best Father and Son. Lord, I thank you. I thank you again for waking us up this morning. I thank you for letting us know that you are the one and the only one, true Father and Son that loves us. Loves us enough to give us life, to give us a choice, to understand that you are the way and the only way. Lord, I thank you for Prophet Antoine Thomas, Apostle-elect, Cecilia Kaiser, Pastor Troy Thomas, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser. I thank you for Dr. Serena Wright. I thank you for each and every person that you have here on this earth, teaching to help us understand that you are the life, you are the love, you are the true man that has us on your schedule of life, that so many did not wake up this morning, Lord. But I thank you for the ones that was blessed to have life. I thank you for all my sisters, all my brothers, my daughters, my sons, my granddaughters, my grandsons, all my sisters and brothers in life through Christ, through the bloodline. I just thank you for each and every person on this earth. I thank you for the life that you have given us all. And I thank you for the guardian angels that you have down here watching over us. Oh, Lord, I thank you, and I thank you. If I can never thank you enough, I don't have the words. There's no words that excuse me, that can describe the love and the mercy that you have given me. Lord, I thank you and I ask you to bless each and every person on this earth, no matter what they're going through, health-wise, financial-wise, whatever the problem is, in family, out of family, job-related, the neighbors, no matter what, Lord, to let them know you can fix it. You can show us the way. You can help us through it. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I ask you to bless this government and make them realize that we are here. They are here for all of the people, no matter what the color, no matter what their race, no matter what their religion is, no matter what their belief is, that we are all here and should know to believe in only you, Lord. I ask you to bless all the ones out here, to remove these demons, these hateful, these treacherous people with their ugly ways, their harmful ways, that they think it's life. It's not life. It's just damnation. Lord, we need you each and every day more and more. Lord, I thank you and ask you to bless us all to understand that no matter what we're going through, that you can bless us through our finance. You can bless us through our health. You can let us know what is best for us, no matter what you might want. It don't mean it's needed. It don't mean that it's meant for you. Everything you want is not what's for you. God knows what's for you. Don't let the devil run your man to make you think that he can do all better. No matter what he do for you, in the end, it will hurt you. It will really just damage you. Might look good in the beginning, but during the process, all he's doing is making you a victim of his. No matter what your mistake was, he can use that against you. No matter what you're going through, ask the Lord to show you guidance, to take you by the hand and to walk you through the mishap that the devil has brought you into, to remove it all. Lord, we thank you, and we thank you, and we thank you. And I thank you for waking us all up. And I ask you, and I ask you, and I ask you to keep blessing us, that we might know that you are the one and the only one. You are the beginning, and it's the beginning that you would lead us through the main and the beautiful and the heart of love and soul through all our lives. And I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. Amen. Back into your hands, Dr. Apostle, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser.
Amen, amen, and amen. I'm going to start off with a question or two that I want Minister Sylvia and Minister Sheila to give some input on, but I'm going to share some things first. So these two questions are, do you know people that work in envy, jealousy, covetousness, and strife, and they're in the background manipulating situations? They're like a puppeteer, or are you guilty of it? I'm sure you're not, but do you know people that are doing this and then they're hiding their hands? That's the first question. And then the second question is, do you know people that they want to be in the spotlight? They want to be this and they want to be that, but they don't want the responsibility and the accountability that goes with it. Okay, so think about those two questions. The person that does the things that they do and then they hide their hands. I'm not talking about the good stuff, because it's good to be that person that does the good stuff and then hide your hands, because you don't always want to be, you know, the light. You don't always want to be in the spotlight. But I'm not talking about that person that's doing something good. And then that other question is about that person that wants the responsibility, but not, I mean, wants the spotlight, but not the responsibility, i.e., that person that wants to be a wife or a husband, but they don't want to submit and respect their spouses, i.e., that person that wants to be a supervisor, but doesn't want to hold people accountable for the things that they do, i.e., another example, that person that wants the title of president but doesn't want to do what it takes to be the president. Okay, those are just some examples. I'm sure you'll think of others. So today we're going to talk about wanting the spotlight but not the responsibility. In Galatians 6, verses 4 and 5, it says, "But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone." You hear that? Will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. If I didn't know any better, I think that would sound like part of that blame game stuff that we're hearing a lot in America these days. But we're going to go on. So although as believers and ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are responsible for our own work, not what our neighbors do, not what our neighbors say, it doesn't mean that we're not still to bear the load in some cases or help out a neighbor, you know, because you can see someone and their heart is overwhelmed and they're experiencing this or that. And so then we have to come back with Galatians 2 that says, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. So we're remembering we're bearing our brothers and sisters' burdens. We're remembering in Galatians 6 and 8, especially 6, that talks about sharing our knowledge, our lessons learned, our life experiences in and through God's wisdom with others. We're remembering Galatians 6 and 8 that talks to us about sowing and reaping. And aren't you glad that because of the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, that we're not being held accountable for the sins of commission and omission that we ourselves are responsible for, not God, not the Holy Spirit, not Jesus who bore that cross for us. But remember, Galatians 6, 4, and 5 says, but let each one of us test his own work. Talking about your own work. And it's going back to those two questions I asked, the person that's manipulating situations and hiding their hands, the person that wants the spotlight but doesn't want the responsibility and the accountability that goes with it. And then we have to also remember, because we're responsible and accountable to God for our own things, that, you know, we're testing, we have to remember Romans 14, verses 10. Also verse 12, there it'll remind us about these various things. So it says, for we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Once again, aren't you glad that although we will give an account to God for our lives, when we stand before the judgment seat, aren't you so glad that because of Jesus Christ and our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that God will see us through the blood? God gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. And because of Jesus Christ's blood and his stripes and the power in the name of Jesus, and because we've been adopted as children and heirs and to God's family, and he's forgiven us and he loves us. By the way, how many people have we ourselves caused to stumble because of what we eat, because of our drunkenness, because of our liberality in ministry and life, or even worse than that? We have to remember, although we are those that have been bought and purchased with a price, sometimes because we're in the family, that's a whole nother message, being in the family, And because of the love of God and because of the forgiveness of God, sometimes our liberality, whether it's that pork that offends our brother or our sister, we have this one relative that, I mean, every time you read her stuff on Facebook, she condemning. I mean, just walking in a spirit of condemnation instead of love and forgiveness. And sometimes it's not our liberality in ministry and life that can be something that's hurting others. It could be our self-righteousness in life. You know, and that's why I love, according to Romans 14, verses 15 and 16, it tells us not to, you know, be so liberal in our lives that we cause another brother or sister to stumble. We cause another brother or sister to fall, or because of the spoken things that we're saying and doing. We have to remember we can't be obstacles to others. We can't cause our ministry to be so liberal that it's causing others to fall. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 and 13, and also 2 Corinthians 6 and 3. So how many of us are guilty? Guilty of things that we do at work? And how many of us work with people that are guilty of being that manipulator or that person behind the scenes, that puppeteer that's actually doing everything they can to try to make other people's lives miserable? Is it because you're such a good worker that everyone is jealous of you? Or is it because you're that person that likes to make sure that everybody's included, that everybody's being celebrated? Is it because you just, whether you like it or not, there are people that aren't going to like you because you're a certain race, you're a certain sex, or because you are dressed? I mean, you might be in uniform, but you still match it from your head to your toe. You might be that person that has to wear name brand everything. And if you do, that's okay. That's you. Because if you worked hard to be able to get yourself this or that or that or this, and you can go here and there, then people need to learn how to celebrate you, to learn how to encourage you, because that in itself can be a stumbling block. That in itself can be a type of self-righteousness where you're trying to make people feel guilty for being blessed. What kind of mess is that? Why would we want people to feel guilty for being blessed? Why would we be sitting behind the scenes manipulating this and manipulating that because we don't like someone, or that we are trying to look out for someone else? So we're trying to get this other person into a position and do all of this for other people at the expense of someone else, at the expense of the demise of someone else. Why can't we celebrate who's there and what they're doing and also take care of whoever or whatever we're trying to do? Because we have to remember that Proverbs 28 and 13 declares, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." So a lot of times, if you've been guilty of that, or if you've worked with people that have been guilty of that, let's pray for them. Let's pray with them. Let's understand that some people don't know God, don't have a relationship with God, and some people forget that they are walking around with the title of a daughter of God, of a son of God, of a minister of the gospel of God. And so because they forget that, they're walking around and they're doing this transgression, that transgression. Yeah, the gossiper. Mm-hmm. The backbiter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that person is walking around in envy and covetousness and strife. Yeah, that person that doesn't like you just because somebody else doesn't like you. I mean, when does it stop? Quit it. Stop it. Remember that God sees you and God sees them. So whether you're the person doing it or the recipient of it being done, we need to pray for people. Pray for us that we're not walking in a type of self-righteousness, because we can't get self-righteous about, oh, well, I'm not doing that. So-and-so is doing that. I'm not guilty of that. Well, according to Romans 3 and 23, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So maybe this isn't something that you're guilty of, but it might be something else. So let's pray that God helps us to diligently know that we are his sons, we are his daughters, we are his ministers, we are his heirs, we are his mouthpiece. We are the walking, living epistles of God that are read of men. Even when you don't think people are watching you, they are. Even when you don't think people are listening to you, they are. There are some people that, because they like the spotlight so much, they can't stand the fact that you like to make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to be in the spotlight. And there are some people that get upset with you because they don't want the spotlight, but you know they got the goods. And so you try to make sure that everybody sees how sharp they are because they deserve to be recognized. So when we give honor to whom honor is due, we have to realize that sometimes some people may call it a fake humility, but sometimes people really are okay with being in the background. Sometimes people are okay with making their brother or their sister look good or smell good or be celebrated. Some people are okay with their people, their co-laborers and their supervisors and their employees getting recognized and awarded. And yet those people still need to be awarded. Those people still need to be rewarded. Those people still need to be recognized. We have to also remember that sometimes your native tongue is a thank you. Sometimes your native tongue is that of gratitude. So because of that, sometimes people don't understand and they take your gratitude and your persona and your personality and your livelihood of being a person that gives thanksgiving for granted. And so they may say, oh, well, he or she never tells me thanks, or he or she never does this or that for me. But if you really pay attention, maybe it didn't come out of their mouths, but maybe their actions said thank you. Maybe their actions were gratitude. Maybe that sandwich was there saying thank you. Maybe that that time that they gave up their seat for you was them saying thank you. Maybe that time when they opened the door for you, that was them saying thank you. Maybe that time that you went to the this place or that place, that was them saying thank you. Maybe that time they allowed you to be the center of attention was them saying thank you. Go ahead, be seen, be celebrated. Maybe that time that they just sat there and listened, although their heart was overwhelmed and they were going through so much, but they gave you the attention. They prayed for you. They set aside time for you. I've heard people say, who preaches and ministers to the preacher? Who preaches and ministers to the person that's in charge? Who ministers and preaches to the person that's in the background, making sure that everything gets done? Well, sometimes, saints, we have to realize that we need to be diligent in making sure that we're taking care of these people, which means that we're making sure that our calling and election is sure as known. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, of which I'm going to read verse 10 first. And then I'm going to read verses 5 through 10. So just listen to this. Once again, this is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, of which I'm going to read verse 10 first. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. But you want to know why you'll never fall? You want to know why it's important to make your calling and election sure? Not just the things that we talked about earlier about being walking, living epistles of men, but it's because of this, verses 5 through 9. So don't lose a minute in the building of what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm feeling friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into that which is supposed to fit. Can you imagine those things that I just talked about fitting into and developing the others? Let's go over that again. So you're going to make your calling an election, sure, and then I'm going to finish the rest of the scriptures as well. But I need for you to know that while you're working on practicing these qualities and practicing making your calling an election, sure, let's not lose a minute in building on what you've been given. What have you been given? God has given a lot of you all of us, blessings. I mean, let's think about, someone told me on this week when I was in a session with them, they said that I do well in reflecting at the 2,000-mile level, meaning that I don't just look at what's just in front of me. I'm not looking down at the bottom seeing what's on the ground. I'm not just looking behind me, but I'm that person that's looking around, up and down, and I look up to see what God has done for me. I look back to see what God has done for me. I look in front of me to see what God has opened doors and windows all around me and on each side of me. I'm complementing the basic faith and the good character that God has given me through Jesus Christ. I look for those times to have spiritual understanding, and I'm alert to discipline, because sometimes, you know, I don't try to declare or decree or say that I'm that person that's so perfect. No, God is working on me daily, and even more than that. So going on with the scriptures, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the other. With these qualities active and growing in our lives, no grass will grow under our feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Jesus, our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you. We'll be oblivious to that old sinful life has been wiped off the books. See, we can't be oblivious to the fact that God has given us a desire to walk in agape love, the generous love of God. We can't forget that how he's given us the patience that we didn't used to have, but now we have it. You know, he's given us that joy unspeakable. My. And that peace that surpasses all understanding. We can't be oblivious to those old sinful ways that we once had, that because of our relationship with God, we now are able to make our calling and election sure so that we don't fall. Not because we didn't have it in us, and not because it's not something that we once practiced, but because of our experience, because of our maturity of walking with Jesus Christ, because of our experience and our maturity of allowing the Holy Spirit to endow us with the power of God, to endow us with the understanding and the revelation and the wisdom of God. Therefore, we realize that our lives are our responsibility, not someone else's. We can't blame it on God. We can't say, why did God do this, or why did God allow that? Yes, we can ask God those questions, but we have to realize that it's our own responsibility to make a decision. I'm not only going to try God, but I'm going to obey God. I'm going to walk in the ways of God, the qualities of God, and the love of God. But we have to remember that it's not just on Sunday. It's not just on Mondays when we're doing ministry. It's not just on Fridays when we're doing ministry. It's not just on Sundays. It's not just on Christmas. It's not just on Easter. It's not just on those holidays that talk about God. Because every day, as Minister Sheila oftentimes prays about it being a new birthday, but every day is a day of the Lord. For it says his mercies are new every morning. We know that we're to give God thanks for the new day, because every day is not promised to us. So when we're on our job, when we're in the school, when we're in our homes, when we're at other places, different times in our lives, let's remember Colossians 3, verses 23 through 24 declares in the Amplified Version, whatever you do, whatever your task may be, work from the soul, that is, put in your very best effort as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing with all certainty that it is from the Lord, not for men, that you will receive the inheritance. Did you hear that? You will, not you might, not you coulda, shoulda, but you will receive the inheritance, which is your greatest reward, and it is the Lord Christ whom you actually serve. So, yes, let's remember, it's actually we are serving Christ, not humankind, not that person that's in a position over you or those people that work under you or those people that work alongside you or those people that work all around you or those people that work afar off from you. Let's remember that only what we do for Christ will last. And, yes, we oftentimes say that, and we know that this is not actually a direct scripture or verse from the Bible. We all the time hear that. You know, we hear it in songs. We hear it in messages. Only what you do for Christ will last. Well, let's remember, it's not really a verse, but it comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 10 that states, so we must, if we must make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home or in the body or away from him. And who is that him? It's God. So when we say only what you do for Christ will last, it's because we're doing things to please him, to please God. We're doing things to please him in our body, in what we do, in what we say, and where we go. Why? Because it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And we're making our calling and election sure. Why? Because we are spending time building up our basic faith and good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. My. Generous love. Not just a little bit of love, but generous love. And we're not working at or being that person that's manipulating things behind the scenes because we realize that we can't conceal our transgressions from God and that we can't conceal our transgressions and think we're going to prosper. But God gives us mercy when we confess them. And we have to pray for those that are doing those things, that are manipulating the things, that are being spiteful, that are being hateful towards us, because they did the same thing to Jesus. Look at what Judas did behind the scenes, kissing his hand, I mean, sitting there eating with him, supping with him, and yet behind the scenes, he was manipulating him with the very Pharisees and Sadducees whom he had also came to save as well. So, yes, we're accountable for those sins of commission and omission. But aren't you glad that because of the blood and because of Jesus Christ, that although we're bearing our own loads and we're being there for our brothers and our sisters, bearing their burdens and things of that, we're still being accountable as believers and ministers of the gospel to God. And we're testing our own work. We're not being that person that's got the board, the building, the whole neighborhood, the whole world in your own eye while you're pointing out what your brother or sister has that's only a speck. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about that person that knows how to be accountable and responsible for their own lives, for their own actions. and grateful to God for the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, that because we've confessed and we've repented, that we know that God's forgiven us for those sins, even that sin of being upset with that manipulator, even that sin of wanting in your heart to talk about them, even if you didn't talk about them, even wanting to gossip about them and complain about them. So let's go now to the lines to hear Minister Sylvia and Minister Sheila talk about those two questions, the question of wanting the responsibility or whether wanting the spotlight without the responsibility and the accountability, because many of us want the responsibility and the accountability, but we don't necessarily need the spotlight. But so many people want the spotlight, the title, the position, but not what goes with it. And so many people want to be manipulative and malice and covetousness and walk in jealousy and all of these things behind the scenes towards you when it's all you're doing is obeying God. So I've opened up the lines for Minister Sylvia and Minister Sheila to share their thoughts and what God has given them about those two questions. The lines are open. I think I hear someone talking, but we can barely hear you.
I don't know what's wrong with my phone, but yes, this is Minister Sylvia. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay. I can definitely apply those two questions and two and in my life where I'm going to just talk about, like, at work, my job. I have certain people at my job that walks around and always calling to the main office telling what someone else is not doing. So this person once told I wasn't doing this, I wasn't doing that. And I just replied to the supervisor with, well, the only person could have told you that is such and such because they are constantly walking through my area. But if they're reporting what I'm not doing, why are they not in their area doing their work? And the supervisor had never stopped to think about that. And this certain same person, it's like every week they choose somebody they try to secretly report on and secretly tell about it because they try to keep a mischief. They're always doing stuff and they're hoping that nobody see them and know it was them and will stand there and deny it to your face all day long. You know, and it's also a certain person at my job when I was overwhelmed with work one day with some situation things they had me to do, and the person came in my area, and I looked and I said, hey, what are you doing over here? And she said, I didn't have nothing to do. I'm sorry. Is it okay if I come and help you? That young lady is always coming around helping someone once she's through in her area, and she never looks for thank you. She never looks for someone to tell that she was there to help them. She never looks to be rewarded or acknowledged about it because that's just in her spirit. If she knows she's not doing anything and she watches the board and see that someone else is overwhelmed or have a lot on their hands, she always go and help. And sometimes people will leave her with their work, but she never complained. She just would do it and just say, you know what? I did it, and I don't feel bad about it. It doesn't matter to me. The work got done. And that's what I have to say right there, because the sad part about that is that both of these women call themselves Christians. And, you know we got some Christians, and we got some Christians. You know, so, and I just look at it like that, where everyone that's always with their hand out, you either have to find out if that's a helping hand or a helpless hand. So that's my opinion. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Minister Sylvia. Minister Sheila, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Thank you for the questions, and I thank you for today. And I thank you, Minister Syria Kaiser-Wright, which what she say is so, so true. Not only do you have it in your workplace, you can find it within your neighborhood, your household. It's just, you can find it even sometimes in the stores where people supposed to be there to help you or give you their directions or to show you the way or show you how to do things. And I used to ask people on the job, even, you know, through the neighborhood household, I used to ask them, why do you be so deceitful towards people, but you don't want it towards yourself? People on the jobs are just, as Minister Sylvia said, they can always walking around trying to find fault in what you're doing or what you ain't doing. But they're not finding fault in themselves. It's always complaints. Like I said, when I was at the job, people, I used to just sit there or just stand there and look at them. And a lot of times I just ask them, why would you do that? You're supposed to be a person in this department of duty and recognition and advice, and you know what you just said and did was so wrong. People, because I don't like them, what makes you think they like you? But yet, you know, and I know, they're not wrong toward you. They even ask you how to do things, ask you about things, and you devilishly, wrongfully misguide them. You tell them this, but you're supposed to be authority. Well, if they don't know, but you know the thing it is, did you always know? Did someone have to show you or teach you? Did you always know? It's like I used to tell people, it is so wrong to do wrong, but yet you want all right. What makes you think you are so much better that no more wrongness would be done towards you when half of the day that's all you are is wrong? It's the supervisor. You're the foreman. You're the director. You're the administrator. But you and your little crowd over here think it's fun and games. But yet you mislead a person. What makes you think you won't be misled? But then when someone does something to you, oh, it's an explosion. But what about the volcano you just set off over there in that person when they know you did them so wrong, you misled them so wrong, you told them so wrong and denied it? It is just so many, as they people call it, two-faced. I can do to you what you can't do to me, people in this world. And I pray to God each and every day that they get that devilish demon up out of the way. Remove them demons to the other side. And just remove them. Because to hurt is not fun. To mischieve someone is not fun. But that is life. But I thank the Lord for yet the people I am around that they are for him and for us, and to be truthful and to know hurt or damnation. But I really thank the Lord that I have been blessed into the environment of love. That's all I have to say.
Amen. I know that the Bible has definitions of a Christian and verses that, or rather the perception of what a Christian should be. By the authority of the Bible, it says that Christians are those that have faith. Acts 11 and 26 says, for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people the discipline. The disciples were called Christians, first at Antioch. Acts 26 and 28, then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? 1 Peter 4 and 16 says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. I've realized that many people are calling themselves Christians, but they're not calling themselves a follower of Christ. Many people are calling themselves Christians, but they're not wanting to belong to the very family of Christ. Many people are calling themselves Christians, but they don't believe in the Word of God. Many people are calling themselves Christians, but they're not following in His Christ-like ways. And so it lines up exactly with what Minister Sylvia and Minister Sheila were already talking about, that the title of Christian has a responsibility of being accountable to God. And that means you're accountable to God because you're going to walk in the Christ-like qualities that we talked about earlier, dealing with love, dealing with faith in God. And so before we go off the air today, I usually ask Minister Sheila to pray, but I feel led of the Lord to pray for Minister Sylvia and Minister Sheila, because they have been those that have, I don't want to say victims, because they're more than conquerors, they're overcomers, but those that have been around or have to deal with people that are wearing the title of Christian without the fruit thereof. And so, therefore, I'm going to pray for them, because it's one thing to say what should be done and to do that what should be done, but there's something about the power of fervent and effectual prayer, and I would pray that God would allow my prayer to be that, so that they would not only walk in the wisdom of God while they're dealing with these situations and circumstances of people that are saying they're a Christian, but they're not being Christ-like, that are saying they're Christians, but not following the ways of Jesus Christ. Father God, I come before you right now. I come before you as an intercessor for Minister Sheila Kaiser and for Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. I come before you, God, asking you to not only to shield them, but to cover them from the fiery darts of those that will call themselves your sons and your daughters without the fruit thereof. God, cause us not only to be Christ-like, but cause us, God, to be believers, believers in your word that calls us to walk in agape love, your word that calls us to walk in patience, your word that calls us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, your word that calls us to be the head and not the tail. God, your word that calls us to be lenders and not borrowers. God, your word that calls us to be more than a conqueror. Your word that reminds us that you give us a finger to war. And God, we not only have the fingers for war, but God, we have the ability and the prayer language that you hear, God. We thank you that when we pray, we know that you hear us. And not only that you hear us, but we have it because we have it because we've asked. So, God, when we ask, we know that it's going to happen because we're praying in the will of God and we're praying the word of God. We thank you, God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them, God, they shall condemn, and they shall condemn based off of the righteousness that you've given them in the name and the power and the authority of Jesus' name. God, we thank you that by Jesus' stripes they're already healed. God, we thank you that by the blood of Jesus they've already been purchased. The price has already been paid. They are the redeemed of the Lord, and they can say so. God, we thank you that when people see them, because they're walking, living epistles read of men, they see Christ-like. They see Christianity. God, they see followers and believers of Jesus Christ. God, they see those that are connected to the Holy Spirit that has endowed them with power, that has endowed them with the wisdom of your word, that has endowed them with the revelation of your word. God, we thank you, God, for what they're doing for you, how they're obeying you, and how they're saying, God, be it unto me according to your word. They live in a life that says not their will, God, but your will be done. Thank you, God, that they're blessed in the city and they're blessed in the field. God, thank you that you're giving them their heart's desires and that their heart's desires line up with your word. Thank you, God, that they are Christ-like, that they are true believers. They are genuine believers. They are followers of Jesus Christ. I thank you for these things that we've prayed, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that it is so, and so it is. Minister Sheila, you want to give out the announcements and the rest of the things for the week, and then we'll say amen and amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, for that prayer for myself and Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright. I thank you, and I thank you for all my bloodline sisters, some of my bloodline sisters, and my spiritual sisters for being on this line this morning to bring and to talk about the word of God and his son, Christ Lord Jesus. I thank for any and everyone that's listening to us, however you are listening to us, and I thank God for each and every one of you. I ask you to tune in to us for Let's Talk every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser and Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and to all are listening. I thank you. I ask you to also join us on Monday night for Iron Sharp and Iron at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, with myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Brandon, and to all the wonderful speakers and listeners that we have. I also ask you to join in on Friday nights. Hopefully I'm saying this time right, with Let's Talk with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright at 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, with 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What again, with Let's Talk, with the talk of the Lord of Jesus and the knowledge to us all. And I ask each and every one of us to don't forget, God is the answer to all our lives, and he can solve and can help us through no matter what we want to. He is the answer and is the true Father and Son. And I thank you. Amen.
Amen. Minister Sylvia, did you have anything you wanted to say before we go off?
Yes, I'm just asking everyone to tune in to our ministry on tomorrow, Mile 3, Iron Sharpening Iron. It's the fifth Monday, which is dedicated to our youth. And I'm just asking everyone to tune in, and we will find out who the speaker will be tomorrow night. That's it. Amen.
Amen. And don't forget our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Bye-bye.